You're listening to Vatican Radio.
Pope Francis has received in audience the first resident ambassador of Malaysia to the Holy See, Tan Sri Bernard Jiluk Dompok. During a private audience in the Vatican on Thursday morning, Ambassador Dompok presented his credentials. Born in 1949 in what was then British North Borneo, Ambassador Dompok received his education at the mission schools of St. Michael and La Salle Secondary School before graduating at the University of East London. His appointment as the country's first resident ambassador to the Holy See was announced on the 22nd of March this year. However, he has been credited with being instrumental in laying the groundwork for the establishment of diplomatic ties with the Vatican in 2011. In a conversation with me, Ambassador Dompok speaks of how the establishment of formal ties between Malaysia and the Holy See came about, and he talks of what he hopes his contribution will be in his new role.
The establishment of diplomatic relations between Malaysia and the Holy See has been on for quite a while now. There was discussions held, and in fact, I had the privilege of talking to the nuncio, who was then in Bangkok at that time, Archbishop Salvatore Pennacchio, who is now the nuncio in India. So he had been coming to Malaysia to see his counterparts there, and also, in fact, to look at the possibility of setting up diplomatic ties with Malaysia. And I think there was a general feeling that the people he met actually were very keen to do it. But the moment was not opportune. The first prime minister who was looking into this was Mahathir himself. We visited the Holy Father, Pope John Paul, at the time, and the question was brought up. But he did not address it during his term. Then it passed on to Prime Minister Badawi. He also did not address it. And then active discussion was again resuscitated when the present Prime Minister, Prime Minister Najib, was approached on this subject. And of course, he was quite readily agreed because he knew that this was on the cards for a long time because Prime Minister Najib was in the cabinet when some of these things were discussed. And I had been with him in the cabinet for more than 13 years. And it had come to a happy ending in 2011. When we visited Pope Benedict at Castel Gandolfo, and the decision was made to set up diplomatic ties with the Vatican. Why it has taken so long, I think, is simply because Malaysia is a country that is mixed religious beliefs. We have 60% Muslims, 30% others like Hinduism, Buddhism, and so on. And only about 10% and a bit Christians. And out of that 10% Christians, half of them are Catholics. Therefore, I think time was needed to try and explain that there's really nothing untoward happening with having diplomatic ties to the Vatican. In fact, it will convey to the world a nation that is confident of itself, that is willing to take part in the world conversation in a lot of issues. And I think the then Prime Minister was up to it.
You're speaking of this multiracial, multi-religious identity of the Malaysian people. What does that bring to the table in terms of interreligious dialogue?
I think this will help, in fact, in understanding the problems in trying to solve communication issues within a country that has this type of demography. And to a certain extent, we have something to contribute because if you look around the world where there are Muslim majorities, and I would say Muslim majorities because Malaysia is 60% Muslims, and our bigger neighbor, Indonesia, which has a larger population, probably is the same percentage-wise in Christian population. And although we have our challenges, we are still able to overcome most of it in order to make it possible for all the races to live together. I think our hope is that we can maintain or improve on this And for this reason, that is why Malaysia, the present Prime Minister, has embarked upon what he calls a movement of moderates, trying to rally people together to understand that communities cannot live in isolation, and that the people with more moderate views should perhaps be able to influence others into submitting a better understanding of what life should be in this type of countries.
Perhaps I speak from a Europe-centric viewpoint. It seems particularly urgent in this historical moment to favour interreligious dialogue. We see what is happening very close to us in the Middle East. And so perhaps your example, your experience may have a lot to say to us in this respect.
I think it is not only the Europeans who are concerned about this. Certainly in our part of the world, we are. Within Malaysia itself, people are concerned about what is happening to the rest of the world. I mean, you do not want extremists coming in and bombing cities and all this. And I think even governments like Malaysia and Indonesia, for example, they are very alert to the fact that this may exist within the country. And I think you can't rule it out. So therefore, steps have to be taken. Unfortunately, the force of arms will not solve it. There's no way you can solve entrenched religious beliefs, misguided, probably in some cases. But you cannot extinguish this by the force of arms. So it's going to be reasoning, making people understand each other. And I think, in part, that must be one of the things that I have to look for here. How to take part in some of these dialogues to make people understand in a way that there's nothing to be gained by expressing yourself in a form of violence or taking measures that will not benefit anybody else. And so this is a concern of everybody. And the rest of the world, I think, is equally concerned on what is unfolding before our eyes in the Middle East and also in the cities of Europe.
I'm sure you and Pope Francis will see eye to eye on that issue.
I certainly think so. I mean, even in Malaysia, Pope Francis is a very popular figure. He strikes a chord in a lot of these people who are pushing for moderation. And in fact, he would be an inspiration for all of us. And there was never a time when the whole world sees a pontiff leading the role in this aspect. And I think he's a good stabilizing force for this.
Reading your biography, I gleaned that you put a lot of emphasis on the importance of education.
Certainly is. I won't be speaking with you today if I didn't have the opportunity to go to a mission school. I started schooling at the age of 7 at a Catholic school in Brunei for 3 years. And after that, moved on back to my home state of North Borneo at that time. It is now Sabah, a state in Malaysia. And for a good number of years, I was in another St. Michael's school and then went on to a La Salle school until I went for tertiary education in London. And so I wouldn't have had that privilege if I didn't have the mission schools coming. And I think I've always emphasized, in fact, to the mission authorities and the bishops that I meet, that the Catholic Church, for example, has come to Borneo Island on the back of education. It was education first before they were able to bring the good news about Christianity and all this. Now, I think it is something that we have to reflect and see how in this modern world it can be done, because the world has changed. The medium of communication has changed. You don't have just radio stations anymore. I mean, most of the communication now is done in social media and all this. So, therefore, education, to my mind, has to be revisited. And Malaysia is going on to what you call a Malaysian education blueprint. And it's a blueprint that needs a lot of inputs. It's just a blueprint. That's one of the reasons why I think we have a role to play. Now, when we were doing our education blueprint, I got the mission schools together, the leadership of the mission schools together, to see how they would like to contribute towards this, towards the attainment of an education system that is conducive to the growth of the country, taking into account the various demographies, the state of living and all this, and the geography of the country and so on. So I think the mission schools have responded, and I'm hoping that they will have a greater role, because at the moment the missions, for example, in Malaysia, no longer running the schools. It's given to the education departments, because the mission authorities did not have the... they probably had the energy, but they didn't have the finances to run the schools. And therefore, they have asked the government whether the government would like to take over and run the schools. So it has happened that way. But I think the heyday of the mission schools have to return. And I feel sure that the government is willing to listen to them in this respect. So that is education. Now, I see, and I think this is what I have been telling the Vatican, the people I meet here, for the short time I was here, that to my mind, the key to assisting in the solution of problems that we have all over the world is education. We can talk a lot about poverty and all this, and how each and everyone needs to share in the problem of getting people out of poverty. But you can't do it if the mind is not developed. And I think we should see how we can help the development of education in Africa, in parts of Asia, in all parts of the world, really, to see how we can do, how we can help. The church and the related organizations of the church have a vast amount of resources. I'm not talking about assets in terms of fixed assets, but you have the expertise. People who have been in education for a long time, people who have had the doctorates that you have, the old day, in all the universities that you have. And I think some of this can be transposed to other parts of the world where it is most needed. The Western world has a lot of spare capacity in this, and I think we should share. And that would be my message, actually, to the rest of the Vatican people that I meet during my tenure here.
Thank you very much, Ambassador. Is there anything you'd like to add?
All I would like to add is that I see this as an opportunity for growing economies, hopefully for a country like Malaysia, which is just trying to find its place in the international conversations and all of these issues. I think that this is the space that we get, and I'm happy that the Vatican has there's so many people here from all parts of the world, and is there for a good listening post. To people, I guess. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That was Ambassador Bernard Giluk Dompok, the first resident ambassador of Malaysia to the Holy See.